Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media.
Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
Yeah, it could potentially be devastating if you have people letting a dog or two out or something and they pack up with another dog. It can really cost a lot of money.
Farmer Larry Howard changed how he raises his livestock after they were being picked off by packs of roaming pets. We'll speak with an animal control officer today to find out more about this problem. What does harvest season sound like? An audio postcard from Harvest Public Media. Also, the next story from Choice Cuts about how consumers' demand for grass-fed beef is changing the industry. And a couple recipes you can knock out with one hot oven. One uses a pumpkin in which to cook a chicken, and the other is a delicious idea for those tomatoes you stuck in the freezer back in late summer. Let's get the news with Mark Chilla.
Two major food safety stories are making waves this week, and the common denominator is E. coli. Chipotle restaurants in the Pacific Northwest have been closed after an outbreak of E. coli has sickened 41 people. The restaurant chain voluntarily closed 43 restaurants across Oregon and Washington after the illnesses were traced back to Chipotle. Currently, the chain does not know what exactly is causing the outbreak or which food item is contaminated. Food safety officials pinpointed the Shiga toxin-producing E. coli 026 microorganism as the culprit, and they are testing Chipotle's food to find which item is at fault. It's likely the bacteria will be traced to produce, including lettuce, tomatoes, cilantro, or onions. Also, Omaha, Nebraska's All American Meats Incorporated is recalling over 160,000 pounds of ground beef after E. coli was found there. The Food Safety and Inspection Service's in-commerce surveillance program testing traced the bacteria to the producer. All products bear the establishment number 20420 inside the USDA mark of inspection, and all products were produced on October 16, 2015. We have a link to the USDA's complete list of recalled meat in this post on our website, eartheats.org. And a small intensive health study at the University of California, San Francisco, and Touro University has shown that obese children could improve their health in only a few days just by substituting sugar for starch. The researchers monitored a wide range of health signs in 43 children, from blood pressure to bone density. After replacing 10 to 28% of refined sugar in the kids' diet for equivalent calories in starch, blood pressure and unhealthy cholesterol levels dropped in just 10 days, and other health factors improved. The participants also lost an average of 2 pounds during that period, and their insulin levels normalized. Researchers say the study gives a close look at the link between sugar and health factors in children. It also shows that the risks of eating excess sugar are not limited to the increased count in calories. Our reporters Liz Leslie and Chad Bouchard gathered these stories this week. Share them online. They're posted at eartheats.org.
Great work. See you next week, Mark.
See you then.
The average American eats hundreds of pounds of meat every year. But after years of putting more and more meat on our plates, it seems we're starting to see a slowdown. For Harvest Public Media's series Choice Cuts, Meat in America, Christopher Husted reports on how changing dietary recommendations are trickling down to the farm.
Steve Landers raises 100% grass-fed beef on the border of Boone County in central Missouri. There hasn't been much rain since June, so with a chorus of chirping insects as a backdrop, he's checking on his pastures and herd.
We're just going to go check over here to see if they are this direction or if they are that direction.
He finds a small group of red and white cattle huddled in a shady grove next to a small pond. They're whisking flies away with their tails and tongues.
These cattle right here, the 33 of them, are Hereford and Red Angus crosses.
Most cattle are fattened up on grain feed made from corn and soybeans and other supplements. But here at Coverdell Farm, Landers switched his cattle to a prefix menu of pure grass in 2007.
And then the customers started catching on to what we were doing. Oh, shoot, now we got more customers than we had beef. We bought more land. We got more cattle. We had more customers. And it just has stair-stepped its way up since then.
Grass-fed beef is leaner than most conventional varieties, and according to the Mayo Clinic, it generally has a little less fat, a few more vitamins, and more of those coveted omega-3 fatty acids. Landers points to those health benefits as part of the reason his business is maxed out with demand.
What I saw was a vast increase in the knowledge of the customer base.
Indeed, Americans have been paying attention to what our doctors recommend when it comes to meat. The main recommendation?
There should be a shift from a meat-based diet or meat-centered diet to a more plant-based diet, which can also include some meat in the overall dietary pattern.
That's why researchers like Frank Hu study the health consequences of eating meat. He's a Harvard professor of nutrition and epidemiology.
In the Western population, especially in the U.S., red meat is the main source of saturated fat, dietary cholesterol, and also main source of human iron.
Who says a heavy red meat diet has been tied to risks of diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, and certain cancers? That's in part why federal guidelines suggest eating proteins from a variety of sources, pushing poultry, fish, and nuts specifically. Joan Salgi-Blake is with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
The guidelines initially were formulated to make sure that the diet was healthy so you didn't have any deficiency.
Blake says scientists are still examining exactly what the American diet should look like. For example, what was originally called the meat group has now become the protein group. And most recently, the guidelines have focused on cutting down portion sizes in that group to 3 to 6 ounces a day.
You don't need to be eating a whole steak when you sit down for dinner. You can have some lean meat, and it can be fish, and it can be poultry, or it can be vegetarian source of protein, such as beans. But the issue is we don't need it covering the whole plate.
Consumers seem to be taking note, too. Beef consumption per person in the U.S. has been steadily declining for decades, and we eat more poultry, which is generally a leaner meat, now than ever before. Some of that has to do with prices and some with marketing, but we're also looking to go lean.
People are now eating differently than they were. They're questioning where their food comes. They're looking at how it was prepared. They're looking at what's being added to it.
Blake says it's a shift created by a growing group of educated shoppers, and livestock producers have to pay attention to that change. While numbers on the grass-fed beef industry are spotty, it's still a small portion of the overall beef market. But researchers say it's growing. Farmer Steve Landers says demand is so strong for his beef that he and two other nearby producers barely have time to keep up with their current customers.
We're all working together because we can't possibly grow enough 100% grass-fed beef to take care of the market.
Landers says he's out of room for more cattle, but he is looking at adding free-range chicken and grass-fed lamb, if that's what his customers want to eat. Christopher Husted, Harvest Public Media.
The sound of harvest season is more than just a combine rumbling through a field. Later on today, Abby Wendell brings us a little combine karaoke. Let's have some fun with roasting today. Get the oven nice and warm and enjoy hanging out in the kitchen for a while you make these two recipes. Our second dish is one of the most popular we've got on eartheats.org, using a pumpkin as a vessel for cooking a chicken. For the first one, get your oven nice and hot, up to 500 degrees. Daniel Orr, take it away.
Tomatoes and herbs, lots of garlic. We must be making roasted tomatoes. All right, the roasted tomatoes are one of the things we use at the restaurant a whole lot. On all of our breakfast plates, this is what they're going to look like when they're done. So they're kind of wrinkled up a little bit. They're somewhere between fresh tomatoes and sun-dried tomatoes. They've still got a lot of moisture in them, but they've got more of the acidity and, you know, these real fun, punchy herb flavors. So I've got the plum tomatoes, and they're quartered. And then we have about a quarter cup of good extra virgin olive oil. And this is a time where you can use your good olive oil. And we're going to add to that some garlic cloves. And what I'm going to do with those is I'm just going to kind of give them a good smashing. We're going to leave them in some nice kind of big pieces. So we're just going to take the flat of the back of the knife and smash those down.
It's almost turned into a paste almost.
Yeah, you really see those essential oils. They kind of get shiny. And I like these big pieces of garlic in with the tomatoes instead of just having it all minced up. so you can't really notice it. Now I'm going to take some rosemary, and again, I'm going to just take the rosemary leaf, the stem, and pull the leaves off. So you start at the top where it's most tender, and you pull down. We're going to also add some fresh oregano and just a little pinch of sugar. And what the sugar will do is kind of balance any acidity that the tomatoes have. And just toss in these, getting a little air action, showing off a little bit. There you go, didn't lose one. Okay, now we're going down onto the pizza tray. Okay, and these go right in here. I'm going to slide that to the back and turn that gas up, and we're going to cook those for about 10 minutes until they get nicely charred on the top, and you'll see that they'll kind of reduce in size to about half when that moisture cooks out of them, so they'll have a really nice, intense, sweet flavor.
And with this recipe, oven at 350. This maybe is one of the meatiest pumpkins I've ever seen in person. There's a lot of meat in here. Is there something you had to do specifically
in your garden? No, it's just the type of variety of pumpkin. You can see that it's fully matured because the seeds are nice and filled out, and they're firm, they're hard. So that means it was picked at the peak of ripeness. So I've got a nice little chicken, and then we've got some nice fresh herbs, and this is really whatever you have around. So today I've got some rosemary, some thyme, basil, scallions, and we can throw in a little bit of sage and fennel if we wanted to. So I'm going to take this chicken, and right over the pumpkin, I'm going to season it with salt and pepper. And at the same time, I'm going to season the pumpkin itself.
So, and you're not going light on the salt and pepper. There's a lot of seasoning going into this.
A lot of seasoning. Don't be afraid of flavor. This pumpkin is going to absorb a lot. It needs a lot of seasoning because it's a very bland vegetable. And then a trick that's great for any type of seasoning of poultry is take your two fingers and run them underneath the skin that runs over the breast. Okay, and you're just going to open up a pocket there. And then you can season, put your herbs right underneath there as well. And that way it's getting right on the meat. So you can see now I've got this beautiful chicken all ready to go. I'm going to pop that inside the cavity of the pumpkin. And then I'm going to add just a few more seasonings. About a cup of white wine. We've got some smoked paprika, garlic powder. Drizzle it with just a little bit of oil. Put the lid back on, and then we're going to hold it in place with a couple skewers. Okay, and then we've got a roasting pan right here. And we're going to put about an half inch of water in the roasting pan. Put the whole pumpkin in there. And then we're going to put it in a 350-degree oven for 2 hours. And it's going to get nice and golden brown, and the pumpkin's going to heat up. It's going to steam the chicken, and we've actually got one already ready. So,
when did you make this morning? Seriously, when did you wake up?
I had to get up at 5:30 this morning just to get ready for Earth Eats. So,
that's not that bad. That's not so bad.
Okay, let's go find that pumpkin.
Woo, that is roasted, brown, and bubbling.
Doesn't that look good?
Yeah.
All right, and so to serve this, we're going to just remove those skewers, which are much easier to take out than they were to put in. And then you carefully remove
the reveal. Still steaming.
Pull the chicken out, drain the juice out of it, and the juices should run clear, meaning that the chicken is all the way cooked. Just taste that liquid. Taste it for salt and pepper. I think this is perfect. Pour that nice pumpkin broth over the chicken and over the pumpkin wedge. And we've got a beautiful pumpkin baked chicken.
Spectacular photos snapped by Aabon Binder. He posted them at eartheats.org. Coming up today, the problem with pets in farm country. That's just ahead. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Cardinal Spirits, a distillery making handcrafted spirits from regional ingredients in Bloomington, Indiana. More at cardinalspirits.com. And Charles Schwab and Company Incorporated, now with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Welcome back to Earth Eats. I'm Annie Corrigan. As the chill of fall sets in, farmers in the Corn Belt are busy bringing in their crops. Harvesting millions of acres of corn and soybeans is a big job for big pieces of equipment that hum, buzz, and sometimes grind to a halt. Harvest Public Media's Abby Wendell went on a search for the sounds of the season, and she brings us this snapshot.
Eric Terstrip speaks fluent combine. He can decipher the machine's every beep.
That is the head raised and your yield data is disengaged beep. And there it's engaging.
Terstrip is in his early 30s. He's been farming nearly all his life in western Illinois, alongside his dad and grandpa. During the harvest, Terstrip spends close to a month cooped up in the cab of his combine, the tractor-like machine he uses to bring in his corn. This time of year, he's often in the fields from 8 in the morning till well after dark.
You gotta have the disease or the want or the desire. You gotta get up every day and know that this is what you want to do.
Most of the time, the 35,000-pound machine rumbles down the rows, sucking down tall corn stalks and chewing the kernels from the cob. From the inside, where Terstrip sits, the giant machine quietly hums along. It's equipped with GPS and auto-steer, which makes the ride so smooth, some farmers have allegedly fallen asleep. Terstrip stays alert with Snapchat, Angry Birds, and Combine Karaoke.
8 o'clock at night, you're looking for something to do to keep yourself awake. Certain songs come on, you just can't control it. You just gotta let it go.
What do you think are the chances of me recording you singing some Combine Karaoke?
Slim to none.
Alone, Terstrip belts out 52 Vincent Black Lightning, a classic tune about a boy, a girl, and a motorcycle. When something goes wrong in the field, it breaks his rhythm.
It sounds like Chewbacca when you run something through you're not supposed to. It starts growling and grinding.
And that often means a call to Jay Van Holten.
Afternoon, Parts. This is Jay. How can I help you?
If you're on the phone with Van Holten at harvest time, you're having a bad day.
Okay.
He works at Berkey's Case IH Farm Equipment in western Illinois.
Okay.
This time of year, his phone rings off the hook with farmers looking to patch things up. Van Holten typically diagnoses the problem by having them describe the broken sound.
One guy, he said, it sounds like a roller coaster. It's in there bouncing around. It wasn't riding smooth. It sounds like a roller coaster going along.
Sometimes, mechanics from the dealership get sent out to meet farmers in the field. But bigger problems end up in the dealership's garage, out back. Brian Asher is sprawled underneath a combine. He's been updating the rotor all day. After working with farmers for 23 harvests, the sound etched in Asher's mind is cussing.
Jesus Christ, what the hell's taking you so long? Why in the hell did this break? Who made it that way? That's the kind of garbage you hear all the time. The grown men having fits.
Back in the field, Terstrip season has been relatively mellow, with only a few grumbles along the way. It's allowed him to tune in to his favorite sound. Golden kernels flow into his grain cart in a thick stream. It's the sound of the culmination of his work. It's payday.
Sometimes you just sit here in the quiet and you almost zone out. You just listen to the combine, you listen to the beeps, and you just don't think about anything.
The sun is setting. Purples and reds splash across the sky. A hawk swoops down and tries to snatch up a rabbit. I try to get Terstrip to perform his rendition of his favorite motorcycle love song.
Says James to Red Molly, my hat's off to you. It's a Vincent Black Lightning 1952.
But in the end, I leave him to glide through one last field. And, maybe, to get his combine karaoke on, alone.
And he pulled around behind. And down to Box Hill, let it ride.
Abby Wendell, Harvest Public Media.
See the pictures that go with this story at harvestpublicmedia.org. If you live with a dog or a cat, this next story is for you. Think about Fido and Fluffy around mealtime. You fill their bowl with food, they wait obediently for your command, and then bam, the kibble is gone before you know it. But when domesticated animals find themselves roaming free in the countryside, no regular meals on their agenda, that's when things get complicated for farmers and their livestock. Cale Wilk has the story.
That's Paris the cat. She lives at Lazy Cat Gardens with her owner, Gloria Jocks.
I love having cats. I mean, they'll get in my lap and he'll love me and get on my shoulder and just purr and fall asleep. I mean, you know, what more is there in life?
Along with Pug, Ivory, and Sundance, Paris is one of four at Lazy Cat Gardens these days. Gloria didn't expect these cats. They just sort of showed up. She believes each of them were dumped somewhere by her property west of Bloomington. Abandoned animals are a common occurrence out in the country. Gloria sometimes hears cars stopping on the road, the door opening, and then the car driving off. She thinks this is the smoking gun.
That means that someone's gotten tired of it and just opens up the car door and out comes the cat and they drive off and then hoping somebody else will take care of it. I don't know why people want to just drop off animals in the country. I just don't understand it.
Gloria sees at least two or three stray cats and dogs a month. But she and her neighbors already have taken some in and they can't support any more. So usually she takes the animals to the Humane Society.
And a lot of them get taken out by coyotes, and a lot of them also get hit by cars.
Sometimes the ones that make it can start causing problems for farmers.
And then we had cats earlier this year that were just feral cats that come in, and they were, you know, getting some of the chickens. So, but we've had numerous other situations where we've captured, you know, dogs and had to take them down to the dog pound of the Humane Society because they didn't have tags and they were just wandering out here.
Larry Howard is the owner of Maple Valley Farm in Ellettsville. He's had trouble with not only stray pets, but also domesticated ones. Larry says packs of dogs have attacked his sheep and a llama.
I think if you talk to most people, they don't really think their pet dog that they keep around the house in the yard, that they may let wander, they don't really think that it would do something like that.
Larry raises everything from pigs to sheep to geese. His experiences motivated him to change the way he raises his animals. He's implemented an integrated grazing system where the animals move to different areas of the property each day and graze as a mob. He even got Pyrenees dogs for guarding the animals. To top it off, he surrounds the animals with electrified fence. He's not taking any chances with his livelihood.
Yeah, it could potentially be devastating if you have people letting a dog or two out or something and they pack up with another dog. It can really cost a lot of money.
When Larry or Gloria call the authorities about a loose animal, they deal with someone like Amber Zike.
And right now I'm riding in my vehicle with a dog I just picked up, and she's being very friendly.
She is an officer in animal management with the Monroe County Sheriff's Department.
I would say more often we get calls from big-time farmers on larger livestock, like cattle being chased by dogs, or I did a call where some dogs got into a pig pen and killed a couple pigs. Things like that are more common with farmers around here.
Monroe County pet ordinances say owners shall not allow dogs to go beyond their property without restraint, unless they accompany their owner on a hunt. Cats, on the other hand, can go beyond their property, as long as they're neutered and wearing a collar, or marked as feral with tipped ears. But in both cases, neither is allowed to be a public nuisance.
More often, we find a problem with just people not obeying the law. A lot of people have an attitude of, I live in the country, so I don't have to put my dog on a leash, or I have 50 acres, so my dog's not going to leave that. Well, if you let your dog loose on your property without ever correcting it, it's very likely that it will leave eventually.
Come on, boys. Come on, Paris. Let's go. Come on.
On Gloria's farm, the cats join her daily routine, from her early morning walk to her gardening. At night, the cats live in the lap of luxury. Gloria and her husband converted a one-car garage into a structure with beds, kitty jungle gyms, and toys. Or as Gloria calls it, the bunkhouse. Remember Paris? That's what she sounds like getting petted by Gloria. Although some of the pets out there have the potential to kill, the felines at Lazy Cat Gardens certainly don't.
They're the most lazy cats you've ever seen. They do not know how to kill anything except Sundance. when they get together and they get a mouse, they won't kill it. I mean, they just think it's a toy. So that ain't lazy. What isn't?
For Earth Eats, I'm Cale Wilk.
Cale is a student at Indiana University working with Earth Eats this semester. See photos he took of both Gloria and Larry at eartheats.org. Before we call it a day today, a little story about a great partnership. Our home station, WFIU Bloomington, held its fall membership campaign last month. Each pledge that came in triggered a food donation from the online grocery store Green Bean Delivery to the Hoosier Hills Food Bank. The result? A ton and a half of fresh veggies went to the food bank. James Gray met up with the folks at Green Bean as they were unloading the truck.
We've got a total of about 3,100 pounds we'll unload here today.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's going to be a workout.
My name is Kyle Legel. I'm a public affairs manager at Green Bean Delivery.
All right. So I'll just hand to whoever's going to help here.
So we had some Michigan apples, some local turnips, as well as your potatoes, onions, and carrots for Thanksgiving coming up.
These potato sacks, they like to come open on the top.
So as a good food company, you know, we focus a lot on healthy food, and we want to feed everybody healthy food. So we believe that regardless of income. So one of the main community initiatives we have is to support food banks and anti-hunger organizations.
Are there actually potatoes in them?
Well, this is a really fantastic donation for us, largely because it's fresh produce. I'm Julio Alonso, and I'm executive director of the Hoosier Hills Food Bank. That's something that's been a goal for us for the last few years, is to pay attention both to the quality as well as the quantity of food that we're distributing to our partner agencies and our mobile pantry clients. The holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, are typically times of year when people think about organizations like ours that are serving people who don't have enough to eat, and we do count on that every year. But with product like that that's really fresh and really in demand, our agencies will snap it up pretty quickly to serve their clients. So I think it would be likely that it'll be gone by the end of the week.
Might need another pallet on it, Don.
Yeah, because there's carrots and turnips.
Hoosier Hills Food Bank distributes food to 100 agencies in 6 counties around southern Indiana. This food will help serve 26,000 people annually. Good work, everyone. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Cardinal Spirits, a distillery making handcrafted spirits from regional ingredients in Bloomington, Indiana. More at cardinalspirits.com. And Charles Schwab and Company Incorporated, now with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media. Will Murphy, executive producer. Thank you for tuning in and being part of the Earth Eats community. See you next time. I'm Annie Corrigan.